Welcome back to part two of the Foundation Series, the place for those who are serious about building a business properly. In this episode, we will be delving into how to do a revenue analysis to see if your business idea is viable, how to create a business structure, and how to successfully build a team to help you achieve your success. If you've not watched part one of the Foundation Series, then I highly recommend you go back and watch it first. Each video builds upon the previous one, and I want to help you get the most out of the information. It's taken me decades to learn and mentor others. You will find the link to part one of this series in the information below. So let's get started. Roger Pearson here, where we talk about all the basics of building a business. And stick around, because I've got some great examples to make these business concepts easy to understand and some resources to help you get there. And make sure you leave any feedback or questions in the comment section. I want to make sure that you're getting the education you need to succeed. People want to go into business for themselves for a variety of reasons. Some people I've talked to have this idea that they want the freedom that comes with working for yourself. Freedom? You have less freedom than any employee. You have suppliers and banks and employees and customers and a host of other people that you're accountable to. There's other people that want the chance to set their own schedule, but you'll end up even working more hours than as an employee. And there are a whole group of intangibles, such as the satisfaction of being successful or the ability to help others improve their lives, like I try to do. Let's be honest. None of the rest is possible if you can't make a profit. After all, why bother to go to all the work of building a business if you're not going to make a lot of money? And it takes a lot of work. Businesses run on numbers. Now, those of you who hate math are probably wondering if you can skip this section. No, you may not. Many business startups have failed because they did not take this step in the process seriously. A revenue analysis allows you to see if the idea that you have will make you the amount of money that you want, or whether your idea needs to be reworked to achieve your goals. The revenue analysis is not a projection of what is possible to make, but a projection of what you will make and then committing to it. Most people's dream is to become a millionaire, and there's nothing to prevent you from doing that. Thousands of people make the commitment and do it every year. On the other hand, your goal may be to just make an extra $500 a month. And that's great. The same principles apply. But since this video series is built to assist those who want to live on their own terms instead of somebody else's, our target number should start at $100,000 a year in revenue. To somebody that's used to making $8 an hour, this figure may seem a bit daunting. However, it's not as hard as it sounds. Let's break it down. $100,000 is $8,330 a month, $2,080 a week, or $416 a day with a 5-day work week. There is a temptation to say at this point, $416 a day is too much. I think I can do $200 a day. That approach will never make you truly successful. The good business person sets out their goals and then keeps refining their business model until it meets their financial targets. Let's look at some examples. The basic revenue analysis would look something like this. Lois is a music teacher that wants to make an extra $1,000 a month. She's decided to charge $25 an hour to tutor students who want to learn how to play the piano. To achieve this, she would need to find 10 students who met with her once a week. The goal is $1,000 a month at $25 an hour at 10 hours a week. Well, 10 times 4 gets that $1,000 a month. As you can see, the principles involved in doing a revenue analysis are really not hard. The challenge occurs when dealing with larger amounts of revenue because there's only a finite amount of hours that we can work. This prompts some creative thinking on our part to compensate for that. So let's review a few examples of this situation. We'll start with a tennis instructor who could not raise his prices and simply didn't have enough hours in the day to add enough individual clients to increase his income by the $416 a day. So he decided to hold 2-hour group clinics on evenings and weekends at reduced rates, and If he held five clinics a week, charging $60 for a 2-hour session, he would only need 8 people per clinic for a total goal of $480, with the extra $64 going to the cost of renting the court. He was able to advertise at a few of the sports clubs and gyms in the area and soon had enough people to fill up 3 weeknights and 2 clinics on Saturday. So the goal of $416 a day at $60 a group, 10 hours a week, 8 per session, adds up to $100,000 a year after deducting the cost of renting the court. Then there is Mary, who loved to make dry flower arrangements and each weekend set up a booth at the local flea market to sell her creations. She made $40 profit on each arrangement and sold 40 arrangements a week. While $1,600 a week was not bad, she wanted to increase her income to $2,080 a week, or $100,000 a year. She would need to sell 12 more arrangements a week to meet her goal, but she didn't have the time to both make the additional 12 arrangements and spend more time marketing them, so she looked around for a different solution. She was talking to a friend who had just bought a house, and what a nice gift the realtor had given them. And this gave Mary a great idea. She showed her unique arrangements to a few realtors in town and soon had enough orders of realtors buying her arrangements for housewarming presents that she met her goals. While these examples are simplified, they demonstrate that you should not do this just to run the numbers. It will also help you define your business and stretch your creativity. Once you add your operating and other expenses to your analysis and have demonstrated it can be profitable, it's time to create a more formalized business plan. A business plan is like a map. Don't be like the person that won't stop and ask for directions. You'll end up getting lost. Don't be like the person who writes a beautifully detailed business plan and puts it on the shelf. Your business will not open itself. And don't be like the person who freezes up when asked to write a business plan. This is not a university business degree you're after here. What we need here is a business plan for the ordinary small business person. It is a simple statement to help you organize your thoughts so that you can stay on course and achieve your dreams. After having done the revenue analysis, you should be able to write a business plan in one day. If you're having trouble doing it, get some help. It can be anywhere from 1 to 3 pages plus the revenue analysis attached to the back. And it should follow the following outline: the idea, the market, the strategy, the team and structure, the numbers, and future benchmarks. And we're going to examine these one by one. First up is the idea. You've determined that you want to create a cash flow as soon as possible. You've already determined your skill set. You came up with an idea. You determined that it's fiscally feasible. The ideas section of your business plan should only be one sentence about the best way to approach it from a customer's point of view. Ask yourself, what is the experience I want my customer or client to have? Our music teacher wrote that her concept was to create an opportunity to children and adults to experience the satisfaction of creating music in a one-on-one learning environment. Our tennis pro wrote that his concept was to provide a service where adults could come together in a social environment to learn tennis and encourage a healthy lifestyle. As you can see, your statement doesn't have to be anything quotable for eternity. It simply states who your market is and what they're going to experience doing business with you. As we discussed in the part one video on brainstorming for ideas, your market needs to consist of an unmet need or provide a product service in a unique way. How the market evolved for my websites and this video series is probably a good example of what I'm trying to explain. I've always enjoyed the education field and teaching, but not in the traditional organizations and schools. Since I'm also a computer junkie, I wanted a way to combine the two, helping people and making a living doing it. An educational website was the logical way to go, and I had the skills to do it: teacher, management, web designer, writer. There were plenty of similar businesses to model mine on, and there are some very good ones. What I saw, though, is that practically all of them dealt in teaching internet marketing, and as I started building the website, I saw that it would be very hard to enter the market against the established players that had more resources than I did. Something was still missing. During some seasonal work that I was doing, I found that I was increasingly helping small business people straighten out the mess they had made in starting up their businesses. The mistakes included improperly setting up the legal structure for their businesses, having no accounting system in place, and some just threw everything in a box, and mixing their personal and business funds together. These were not the internet gurus. These were the plumbers, painters, landscapers, contractors, and small shop owners. They consistently asked me where they could go to learn the type of information I was telling them. I had nowhere to send them. They didn't have the time to go to college to learn business. Besides, that was not the type of real-world education they needed. Nor could most of them afford the cost of time for that type of education. I found my unmet need and unique twist. There are thousands of people out there who need an affordable way to learn basic business concepts in a way that fits their schedules. This also defined the courses that I needed to write and from what perspective. So in considering your market, it needs to address three basic points. You need to describe the general state of your market along with its opportunities and threats. You need to look at your competition, what they've done in the past and are doing now. And you need to look at the current trends in the market. You may not want to open a CD music store when everybody is moving to digital downloads. Your strategy is your roadmap of where you want to go in the future. Your plan can't be carved in stone. The world changes too fast and you have to be flexible. The important thing is that you have to have a constantly updating roadmap that outlines where you're going two or three steps ahead. I designed and wrote my first small business educational website many years ago when the internet was just starting to pick up steam. It's been rewritten several times as the software and design concept evolved. Then I recently had to revise it once again with the advent of social media to include social media marketing, videos such as what you are watching now, and more advanced online courses. I had to decide how all of these parts are integrating with each other to produce a solid business image and how the income streams would work with each other to produce the total business income. With as fast as things are changing in our world nowadays, you really need to sit down once a year and take a look at what your strategy is to see where you've been, what worked, see what changes need to be made, and rewrite where you want the future to take you. This is the only way that you can stay ahead of your competition. You then need to look at how your business is going to be structured, your time and your skills, and what you need to fill in the blanks. Probably the most important task is finding a mentor to help you understand what you don't know. Your mentor doesn't have to be in the same field that you're in, but ideally, they should be someone that can help you with your weak points. For instance, our tennis pro found that he was having trouble keeping his clinics within the 2-hour time frame. So he went out and found a mentor that was great at time management. Our music teacher talked to another musician who gave guitar lessons. He helped her learn how to pace the sessions so the students didn't get overwhelmed and how to deal with some problem students. In the course of designing my online small business courses, I have run my ideas by people just starting out in business as well as very successful business people to solicit their feedback. I was able to make some great changes because of that. As you fill out your support team, you may need to add accountants, lawyers, bookkeepers, or consultants to fill in what you don't have time for or are not good at. For instance, for my business course and online videos, I had to bring a graphic designer on my team as well as proofreaders and beta testers. In the future, I shall probably need web support services, affiliate payment services, and forum moderators added to the team as the business grows. Remember that in creating your support team, keep in mind what the most important thing you should be spending your time on, the one or two things you need to do to move the business forward. Hire others to do the rest. It's easy to get sidetracked by the minutiae of all the business tasks. As I've said, businesses run on numbers. It's the only way to tell if you're profitable, and if the business is not profitable, it's not worth your time. You have already made a revenue model, so you know what it will take to break even and what is needed to make your desired profit. And eventually you will have to learn about profit and loss statements, balance sheets, and cash flow statements. We'll be adding more accounting videos that will go into this subject in more detail later. For the purposes of your business plan, though, a summary of your projections will be enough. The good business person not only maps out his current business plan, but also looks to the future. The final section of your plan should take a look at a list of projected multiple revenue streams and the products or services that will generate those revenue streams. Each one of these revenue streams should be treated as a separate business plan and a full analysis done to test its viability. Great entrepreneurs are also great leaders. Great leaders know how to surround themselves with the right people at the right time. There's just not enough time in the day to do everything yourself. Business owners that try to do everything themselves are so caught up in the details that they lose sight of the big picture. They don't see the changes that need to be made to stay on course. Good business people maintain a bird's eye view of their business and what's going on in the world around them. By putting together a team at the start of your business, you will be learning leadership skills that you will need as your business grows larger and larger. You will learn how to find self-motivated and resourceful people that know how to get things done and are action-oriented. As a leader, you will learn to motivate them through your energy, vision, clear roadmaps, achievable goals, and fair incentives. In your business, you will often be a leader and a team player at the same time. If you bring in a professional to help manage or build part of your business, then it may be best to let that person lead and you will just be a member of the team. You'll find that many good leaders also know how to be good followers. As your business grows, you may need to change members of your team. The people that you needed during the early phases of your business may no longer be needed, and other skills will be needed to be added. As we learn to be leaders, it would be nice to think that we always will make good personal choices, but that's rarely the case. You can't afford a member of your team to create an attitude that spreads bad feelings. If you've hired a bad apple, get rid of them as soon as possible. Your energy and efforts are too important to waste on working with people you don't enjoy being around. And it's not fair to the rest of your team to force them to work in a non-productive atmosphere. One of the hardest things new managers and many experienced have to deal with is firing employees. And get over it. Nobody likes a bad guy. But it's your business, and they are ruining it. I still remember the first management job I had where I was responsible for several crew members, and the first time I had to fire somebody, I didn't sleep the night before because I was so nervous. When the time to call him into the office and let him go, he just said okay and got up and left. Well, I've had to fire a lot of people in the 30 years since then, and it is still not something enjoyable. I don't lose sleep over it anymore. I've learned the business always works better afterwards. So, who do you need on your team? I have no idea. It depends on your personal skill sets and the type of business you're building. The best place to start is by looking at similar businesses or organizations. They do not have to be in the same business you're in. For instance, a small retail store runs much the same no matter what's sold. The painter and plumber are both service businesses. They just use different supplies. To better understand this, let's look at some positions that almost all businesses use in one capacity or another. Everyone needs someone to bounce ideas off of. It doesn't matter if you're just starting out or the CEO of a major corporation, you need a mentor. And expect your mentors to change as your business builds in size and your skills increase. Your initial mentors should be successful entrepreneurs who have a reputation for being good people. I mean, why would you want to deal with bad ones? They are easier to find than you might think. You need to seek out business people in your community whom you respect and admire. Ask your friends, neighbors, and colleagues if they have any connections. People who have retired are often great mentors, as they are often looking for something to do. You should remember to never make unsolicited visits. Try to call and get an appointment. If you can't get through by phone, you might try writing a letter or email and then following up with a phone call. Request a 15-minute meeting. That should be enough time to see if the working relationship should go forward. The next thing you will have to consider is your support staff in setting up your business. Depending on your skill set, you may need to find an accountant, a lawyer, a tax advisor, or other specialist. These people can help you get the legal format of your business set up properly. Many states now offer the ability to go online and set up your own partnership corporation or LLC, and this is great if you know what the ramifications of the choices are, but I've seen too many people think they know based on something they've heard and make mistakes that end up costing them a lot of money. You will need to set up your financial systems. I've seen so many people throw everything into a box and hand it to the tax guy at the end of the year. Do not do this. It will cost you money, as we will discuss in a future video. Some people buy a software program like QuickBooks. Well, this is a great piece of software unless you understand double entry bookkeeping. I would recommend you take a course on it if one is available in your area, or find a bookkeeper to help you set it up properly for your business. It is a whole lot easier getting it right to start with than straightening out the mess later. If numbers totally freak you out, you may want to just hire a bookkeeper to do the whole thing for you. You may need someone who is familiar with database management. If you use software like QuickBooks, it will keep track of customers, suppliers, and vendors. However, you also need databases of your prospects and clients to send marketing materials to. A modular system like Zoho can link together accounting and marketing, and I'll link to that below. Or you could find someone to build an email newsletter web-based system for you, or mailing firm to send out marketing materials. Depending on your personal skills, you may need a copywriter. Writing this stuff is not as easy as it seems. A graphic designer or illustrator, or even a marketing specialist. After all, you never get a chance to make a great first impression. Make sure you've thought things out so you do. As you put together your team, it's natural that discussions around payment will come up, as well they should. Anyone that gives you value should be compensated for it. Since most small business people don't start with money to throw around, sometimes you have to get creative. So I'm going to cover a few ideas to get you started. One of the oldest forms of compensation is bartering. It still works today, but there is one point you should be aware of. Barter dollars or trade dollars are identical to real dollars for tax reporting. If you conduct any direct barter, you will have to report the fair market value of the products or services you received on your tax return. Of course, you can also expense any services you provide in exchange. For a complete discussion on the tax consequences, search on bartering at the IRS.gov website. You can hire the people you need. You can hire them as either employees or contractors, but you need to understand the legal differences between them so you don't run afoul of the IRS. An employee is someone who works for you, who you give direct instruction to. This means you tell them when they're going to work, where they're going to work, and how they're going to work. You're responsible for paying half their Social Security and Medicare taxes, and maybe other costs such as unemployment insurance or certain benefits such as pensions. On the other hand, an independent contractor is someone you hire to do a task. You can tell them when the task is to be done, but not when to do it. You can tell them what the final result needs to be, but not how they have to accomplish it. They have the responsibility of paying all their own payroll taxes and other costs. Some unethical employers will hire people as contractors and not tell them they're responsible for their own taxes at the end of the year. If those people should complain to the IRS about this, the IRS will audit you and reclassify the income, handing you a bill for taxes and penalties. This is another reason you may want to consult a tax advisor specializing in small businesses. A third way is to offer the person equity or partial ownership of your company. There are benefits and flaws to this on both sides. For the person you're giving the equity to, it could end up being worthless if the company fails, so there's a chance they may never receive a return on their investment. On the other hand, if this startup is successful, it could be worth a lot of money in the future. For the business owner, it means that you would not have any upfront cost, and they would tend to work harder because they had a stake in the company. On the downside, if that person becomes a detriment to your business, it could be very expensive to buy them out later. The best advice has always been, don't give away what you can hire. Another way is to pay somebody both cash and equity. This is the best of both worlds for a partner or employee. The person may get paid a little less upfront, with the possibility of a greater reward down the line. The last compensation method we will discuss here is to give a bonus on specific criteria. In some industries, like sales, the majority of one's compensation is paid as bonus. Many companies pay bonuses to different departments to meet certain criteria. The problem occurs when companies create incentives for managing budgets and keeping expenses down. This actually holds the business back by rewarding people for keeping the status quo. Bonuses should be structured so that they support interdepartmental interdependence. For instance, the accounting department gets rewarded if it comes up with an idea that the sales staff can use, and the sales staff gets rewarded if it keeps the cost of sales down. Which direction you should take is definitely something that your mentors, accountants, and tax advisors can help you decide, which is why they can be so valuable. As your business grows, you may notice that it starts to look more like a traditional business with departments such as management, marketing, sales, operations, finance. You will also find that as your company grows, your perspective on who you hire changes. At first, you bring in people that have the same entrepreneurial spirit that you have, and eventually, you will need people that you either promote or bring in to fill specific tasks. You will need to learn to always be looking a year ahead so that you are on the lookout for good people that you will need in the future. In the beginning, most entrepreneurs finance their own startups. As your business grows and branches out, you may find the need for investors or lenders from whom you can borrow money. Make sure that you establish a relationship with your local bank. You need to have separate business accounts with them and meet the people you may need in the future, such as loan officers or payroll specialists. You may need to bring onto your team a PR professional. Using public relations to get your message out through the media can be extremely effective. This person may write press releases or articles for publication that reference your company's expertise in your business's field. Large corporations have dozens of departments and business teams. Your business may become huge and global one day, so the team building skills that you learn at the beginning will help you get there. You might have guessed that millionaires do not do housework. If you spend 10 hours a week cleaning your house, tending to the garden, or doing errands, that's 10 hours away from your business. Most of these jobs can be taken care of by employees for $10 to $20 an hour. If you spend 40 hours a month taking care of your home, then that is an entire work week you're taking away from your business. If you're making $400 a day in your business, that can get to be an expensive diversion. Remember that because your personal team members will be in your home, it's important to get reliable references for each person you hire, and this is vital. If people are going to be in your home while you're away, make sure that you have a different alarm code for each employee so that you know who is entering or leaving your home and when. Building a business is a lot of work and often long hours. The best use of your free time is to enjoy your family and friends, which your personal team can help you do. Change is inevitable, and you need to plan for it. This is especially true if there is more than one owner of the business. Too many people just shake hands and go to work, and that's just asking for trouble. I've seen plenty of it. While taking time to create a partnership agreement can be annoying, it's absolutely necessary and can save you a lot of aggravation later on. When partners start to disagree about the direction a company is going, often emotions take over and rational thinking stops. That is why I advise my clients to design their business divorce at the beginning. When one partner wants to leave or sell to someone else, there's a clear and logical path to follow, making the change a lot easier. If you are planning on giving equity in your company away and that person is uncomfortable with the contract, it's best to find another candidate. In parts one and two of this series, we have dealt with the basics of building and analyzing a business. In the process, we've examined determining your skill set, brainstorming for ideas, creating your business structure, revenue analysis, creating your business plan, and building your team. While we have primarily discussed creating a business from scratch, the same principles apply if you already own a business and need to fix it. If you're planning on buying a business, franchises, multi-level marketing, or partnering with other business people. We will discuss the unique needs of each of these business formats in greater details in coming weeks. Now, if you'd like to ask me anything specifically about your business that you don't want to put in the comments, I've listed a link to my corporate contact information below in the comments. So be sure to hit the subscribe button and notifications so you don't miss the rest of this business training. And if you know any other small business people who could benefit from this knowledge, please consider sharing it. And please leave any comments about subjects you wish to learn about or clarifications on what we've already discussed. I really do read them all.